Christianity blew into the world like a violent wind. The forerunner, the strange man named John, dressed in animal skins and eating locust, and baptizing people, dunking them into the water to symbolize the radical change that was happening in their lives. Who said strange things like, I baptize you with water, but the one who comes after me will baptize you with fire. And this one came as advertised, bringing a word of fire that turned fishermen into preacher boys and tax collectors into instruments of God's love. This one wrought reconciliation between the divine and humanity, between humanity and itself. This Christ preached a violent grace. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will turn them white as snow. This Christ preached redemption, and in so doing, destroyed all categories that compartmentalize people. In Christ, there is no Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free. Christ did away with all of the categories in which we try to slot people and forbid us to erect new ones. Transformation. Reconciliation, redemption, the destruction of dividing categories, grace. All of these things were meant to bring about a violent change in the world, which is why our Lord said, up until John, yes, the law and the prophets prevailed, but after John, the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached. And those who enter it violently. What does this violence mean? It means that we have within us a hunger and a thirst to live the righteousness of Christ. When I think of this phrase, I think of a story told by a great preacher, old preacher Elton Trueblood, about an Ohio lawyer who was extremely skilled in his legal profession, accounted a great success, but he was at best a nominal Christian, very superficial believer. And though he was accounted from the outside a wonderfully gifted person, he knew on the inside he was empty. His life was a sham. He was proficient at his job, but horrible at everything else. A terrible husband, a terrible father, and an alcoholic. Through the ministry of a friend, he entered Alcoholics Anonymous, and there the power of God gripped his life, radically changed him into a man who was a fervent believer, a wonderful husband, a passionate father, and a Christian who was active in the community among the needy, trying to meet the violence of the world with the violence of love. For 6 years, this man transformed his community, and then, irony of ironies, was struck with a serious illness and passed away quickly. But he said unto his pastor and friend, it's only these last 6 years that I have actually really been alive. He said to his pastor and friend, it took a radical change. Just a little more church attendance. Just a few hours at the office. Just a little more time with my family. Just a few less drinks. None of that would have changed me. It took the violence of Christ changing me and turning my life radically around. I thought of his testimony a couple of months ago at our Baptist Men's Fellowship, when we had a gentleman speaking to us in February, an African-American gentleman from the Men's Rescue Mission, who took a sheet of paper and threw it out, and it stretched 10 feet long, and he said, "That is my rap sheet." Y'all remember that? His life was dominated, imprisoned by addictions and abuse. But he stood before us and he said, "The love of Jesus Christ has changed my life. I have been liberated from the things that imprisoned me. I am a completely different person." And then he looked out at Bob White. And he said, "Bob, 10 years ago, I took $20 from you to cut your grass, and I knew I wasn't going to cut it. I just stole it. But I stand here tonight with that $20 in my pocket." Here was a man with a long criminal record, a long-time abuser, a long-time addict who could commit any deed with callousness. But the violence of Christ's love had so awakened his conscience that the theft of $20 10 years ago burned in his pocket like a searing coal. The violence of love had made a new man, a new creature out of him. What is this power that could turn a lawyer 180 degrees, could transform and liberate a hardened criminal? It is the power of resurrection. It is the power of the risen Christ. Throughout this week, we have followed the footsteps of Jesus as he experienced a violence that the world knows all too well. The violence of hatred, the violence of greed, the violence of viciousness. We watched him tortured and crucified, ridiculed as he died. The world knows that kind of violence. But it could not imagine, it could not accept, it could not wrap its brain around the idea that there is another violence. The violence of resurrection power that could lift Christ from the grave and repudiate death and banish the violence of hatred and replace it with extraordinary, replenishing, resurrecting violence of love. That's the violent love that turned a ragtag bunch of nobodies into an evangelical force. Not many people believed in the violence of resurrection. But the small group that did turned the world upside down. Maybe not many in our world really believe in the violence of resurrection power. But if enough of us believe it, we can meet the violence of hatred with the transforming, redemptive power of love. Now, I know there are some of you here who have lost your way. There are some of you here who have been apathetic and superficial in your faith. You need the kind of radical transformation that happened in that lawyer's life, happened in that criminal's life. But others of you say, "Wait a second, preacher, I'm here every Sunday. I'm not perfect. I'm not great, but I'm in the faith. I take my faith seriously. What does the violence of love have to say to me? The violence of love has to say to you, you must, in the very marrow of your being, hunger and thirst to live the righteousness of Christ. And that doesn't always take radical transformation. It may take taking your holy habits more seriously. There are such a good thing as habits, good habits. Being a part of a fellowship, being involved in a community of faith is a good habit. But it can devolve into nothing but a habit. I think of what the American officer in The Last Samurai said about the community, the samurai community he was in. I am not a religious man, but I can sense this is a spiritual community that dedicates itself every day to improvement. That is what a definition of a church needs to be. A spiritual community that dedicates itself individually and collectively every day to improvement so that we can make a radical transformation in our community and in our world. I think of a man named Oscar Romero, Archbishop of war-torn El Salvador. A little country beset with violence. Violence was normalcy. And you had groups on the left and groups on the right trying to bring their form of righteousness, which turned out to be only variant forms of revenge. And so Oscar Romero said to his people, there is but one hope for us as a people, as a country. We must meet the violence of left and right with the violence of love. We must meet the violence of our environment with the violence of Christ that turns swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. He said, people are preaching revolution. Are you willing to practice the revolution of the love of Jesus? And for preaching that message, he was gunned down in his pulpit as he preached. But his question remains, are we willing to embrace, embody, to live the revolutionary love of Jesus Christ? Or are we willing to experience the Easter power of the violence of resurrection? And hunger and thirst after righteousness. I can't help but think of the testimony of Chuck Colson, the Nixon aide who was sent to prison for his role in Watergate, who said he had to go to prison to find out what he really wanted in life. He said all of his life he thought he wanted power. But he's found out that power is like drinking salt water. The more you have, the more you want. In prison, he found the violent love of Jesus Christ. And he wrote about that experience. And after being released from prison, he goes to a conference overseas. And there, a Romanian official comes up to him and hugs him and says, I read your book while I was in prison. And it changed my life. I have become a disciple of Jesus Christ. 5 minutes later, two former Soviet officials come up to him and in their broken English put their arms around him and say, I love you. I love you. I'm a disciple of Jesus. And as they hugged and cried together, Colson suddenly realized, I have spent my entire life trained as a Cold War warrior. And here I am loving and hugging and crying with the very people I was trained to kill. The love of Christ broke down the walls between us. The love of Christ bridged the vast ideological gap between us. The love of Christ did violence and brought about reconciliation where there was hatred. If you have been worshiping with us throughout this Holy Week, you have heard the story of Porter Halliburton, prisoner of war in the Hanaway Hilton for 7 years. You've heard of how he was abused and starved and tortured, and even his family thought he was dead for a time. But as his release date neared, he realized something. His hatred for his captors, for all they had done to him, was one of the things that had kept him alive. But he realized as that release date neared that that hatred was a corrosive acid that was eating into his own soul. And so on the day he was released, as he walked out of that prison, he turned around and he said these words, I forgive you. I forgive you for the whole experience. And he said, in that moment, he knew he was truly free. He said to a friend of mine, saying those words and meaning them was the best and most important decision of my life. Jesus really means it when he says, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you have to be changed. You have to enter it with a violence of love. The world really did right to fear John, because he indicated when you're buried with Christ and raised with him, you are raised to walk in newness of life. If we are in Christ, we are daily to be about the process of becoming a new creature. There is something about our faith that hates the status quo. It breaks through, creates a new world, brings a new vision, a new hope. And if we're going to fulfill that calling, if we're going to embody that love, then we must truly live as those who believe every day, he is risen. Easter is not a historical celebration. It's not a celebration of what happened long ago to Christ. It is a celebration of the Christ whose Spirit breaks into our lives here and now. And if that is really true of us, then we can truly live as those who can say and mean, he is risen. He is risen indeed. May we pray together. Our Lord, you know our lives. You know where we stand. Some of us need to make a radical change. Some of us need to open parts of our lives that we have closed off. Some of us need to make courageous commitment. Some of us have stood on the sidelines for far too long. Overcome our shyness. Overcome our cowardice. Transform us with the violence of your love, that we may truly live and embody your resurrection power. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Even as the Spirit of God has challenged you to come, claim the Christ as Savior and Lord, to allow the violence of his love to redeem you, to come, splice your life into this community, take the step of pledging your life and resources to this community and being nurtured and nurture others. Respond as Christ's Spirit moves in your life and claim the Easter power as we stand and sing.